myself. So I've been trading for 53 years, probably starting to sound like it. I am sheltering in place, been trading from my home office for 8 weeks. Haven't been in town or anything, haven't touched my face, haven't touched anybody else's face or anybody else's parts of anybody else's body. So here I am. I'm going to talk to you about the next six big moves and why. I want everyone to understand that I'm a real trader. I really trade. I trade practically every day. That does not mean that I'm a day trader. Even though I wrote the four best-selling books on day trading from McGraw-Hill, day trading ain't what it used to be. In fact, the bottom line is this. Most traders don't make money because they don't have rules, and because the rules that they do have are not completely clear, or what I call fact-backed and rules-based. You can read a little bit about me here. I'm not going to waste your time telling you who I am. So while I'm talking, you can read about me and see if you have some credibility for me. I've done a lot of things, and as I say, I'm a real trader. I trade what I teach, and I teach what I trade. If you've never been to any of my sessions before, be prepared for something very different than what most people do. Because what I do is completely clear, not subject to interpretation. If two people look at my information independent of each other and they don't reach exactly the same conclusions, then either they didn't understand it or I didn't teach it right. And since I teach it right, it means they didn't understand it. So let's talk a little bit about this. Let's talk about patterns. All markets have patterns. If a market has a pattern and that pattern is predictable, I can trade that pattern and make money. Because the bottom line is, it's all about making money. Today I'm going to show you a very small portion of my work that is completely objective. It'll be a real eye-opener for you if you've never seen my work before. But I want to stress, it's based on three concepts. Concept number one, setup. A setup is a pattern. Number two, a pattern must trigger in order for you to take step number three, which is a trade. Once you're in step number three, which is a trade, you have three choices. You get out at a loss, you get out at a profit, or you get out of some of your position, reduce your trade effectively to zero risk, and then trail the stop to maximize the profit. Today, I'm going to teach you only a setup because in 1 hour, there's very little that I can teach you except one part of my formula. So a setup is a pattern. I'm going to show you three patterns today that are very predictable. I'm going to show you how they work together. So one of the patterns that we use is a cycle. There are many cycles. Every market has a cycle. If it has a cycle and the cycle is predictable, we can use it. As an example, people are all upset about the coronavirus. Well, the bottom line is this. It was predictable because there's been a cycle in viruses of approximately 100 years. When I say approximately 100 years, that's exactly what I mean. I don't mean exactly 100 years to the day, but if you look at the patterns right over here, we were overdue for some sort of a pandemic. We're not going to talk about the pandemic today, but the fact is this. After every one of these pandemics, there's been a pattern that has developed in the markets. And one of those patterns has been, it has created incredible opportunities for profit due to changes and advances in technology. Some of that technology change is happening right now as we attempt to find cure and treatment for the virus. So what we're going to talk about today is this. And as I said before, if there's nothing else I can teach you today except for this, set up, trigger, and follow through, you will have learned a lot from me. Step number one, setup. You can read about this later on if you get the download of the presentation. You have to get a pattern. And guess what? These days we have a computer. You can put stuff on the computer and ask the question, does the pattern work? Is it predictable? The good news, we can test patterns. The better news, there's thousands of patterns. And the worst news, 98% of them don't work. They don't predict anything. So if you take the patterns that most people follow, like head and shoulders, trend lines, traditional support resistance, breakouts, the golden cross, the death cross, put them on the computer, they do not work. So the first challenge, find patterns that work. I'm going to show you three of them today. Once you have the pattern has to trigger. A trigger is what some people call timing indicators. So without the pattern, the timing indicator is useless. And without the timing indicator, the pattern is useless. Once the pattern triggers, you go to step number three, which, as I said before, follow through. Maximize the profit. Go for the big move. Don't do what most traders do, which is, I made $500 today. I'm getting out. It's been a good day. I'm not in this game to make $500 a day. I'm in this game to make as much money as I possibly can. And I don't care if it takes 1 day or 10 days or 20 days. That's my goal. So we're going to look at three key indicators today. Number one, what are the biggest and best traders in the world doing? Are they buying or selling? How do we know who they are? Have they been correct? I'll show you that. Number two, what are the smallest and worst traders in the world doing? Are they bullish or bearish? Can we measure that? Are they reliable in their accuracy? Are they what's called a reliable anti-authority, which means they're wrong most of the time? We have that information. I will show you. Number three, are there cycles in the markets? If so, what are they? Have they been accurate? How will we know that? And again, I will show you. So let's go to the next slide. Let's look at the best and biggest traders in the world. Commercials. What are commercials? animals. Every week, the United States Department of Agriculture releases a report called the Commitment of Traders Report. The Commitment of Traders Report divides traders into three basic categories: large speculators, small speculators, and commercials. Commercials are the people in the business who use the stuff, who grow the stuff, who broker the stuff, for example, commodities or even currencies. So what I'm going to show you is commodities, but nowadays there is an ETF for practically every commodity. So if I show you an ETF, if I show you something, for example, the grains, there'll be an ETF that you can trade as an investment based on the grain cycles and patterns. So three pieces of information: small traders, large traders, and commercials. Commercials control about 95% of the market, whatever the market is. They're the big users, the big producers. We want to know what they're doing. The Commitment of Traders Report, which is available, as I said, from the USDA, from the US government, CFTC, available on almost any trading platform, tells you what percentage of the open interest, the available contracts, is being held by large traders and small traders and so forth. When we look at these numbers on a weekly basis, we can see what they're doing. Example, on this chart, where I have removed the name of the chart so that you don't get biased, and I removed the dates, I'm showing two pieces of information besides the information on top, which is the price. I'm showing on the bottom of the chart green and red. The green means that commercials are buying the market, they're long. The red means they're hedged to the market. Not short, but hedged. And I want you to please understand the difference between hedged and short. To be short something means you sold something you don't own. To be hedged means you sold something that you do own. As an example, let's assume, which is not the case, that this market is corn. As you can see, before the market started to move up, commercials were buying. They act in advance of a bottom. All the way up, they're selling. Does it mean they're losing their buck? No, it means they're hedging. They're taking the product and they're immediately selling it on the futures. So if a farmer comes to the commercial and says, "Will you buy my corn for me?" Commercial looks at the board and says, "Yes, I will buy your corn for you." The farmer says, "How much will you pay me?" Commercial says, "I'll give you $5 a bushel." The farmer complains, "That's not enough." The commercial says, "Well, futures are trading at 5.10. I've got to make some money here to handle this corn. So I'll give you $5.03. He pays the farmer $5.03, immediately sells it on the futures at $5.07, and makes the 4-cent difference. So when you look at this chart and you see all this stuff on the bottom in red, they're not losing money. They're making money all the way up. But the most important thing that I want you to see from this chart is this. Look at every single low that we have and notice what commercials did before every single bottom, sometimes right at the bottom, like here. So if I ask you the question, in this particular market, what did commercials do for the better part of 1 year in this particular market? They were buyers. Did they buy the market for their health? No. They bought the market for one purpose. They believe it's going to go up. They have good inside information, the best information in the world, and they will make money. And when it starts to go up, they'll start taking their profits. So I bet you'd like to know what this market is. I'll tell you later. You know the joke, how do you keep an idiot in suspense? I'll tell you tomorrow. How about this one? This is the Dow Jones Futures, the YM, mini size Dow. You'll notice all the way up in this bull market, commercials were hedging. Banks, insurance companies, selling futures against their stock portfolio. But when the market crashed, they started to buy. And they bought big. And they're still buying now. So what did they do? The big traders were buying. The small trader was doing the opposite. Look at this chart. Here's a close-up view of what happened. You'll notice that about 5 or 6 days after the bottom, commercials started to buy. And they've been buying ever since. Let's look at another chart. The big trader compared to the small trader. So over here, we have the commercial. And here we have the small trader. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the small trader is always wrong. Sometimes the small trader is right. If they were always wrong, they wouldn't play the game. So this idea of trading, making money for a firm, and then taking your cut, it's a great dream, but most of the time, most people will lose. For many reasons, lack of discipline, lack of methodology, lack of rules. But you'll notice over here, small traders doing the exact opposite of what big traders were doing. So all the way up on this rally, all the way up, the small trader was in the red, selling all the way up. Very dramatic juxtaposition. So is a small trader always wrong? No. And not every small trader is always wrong, but the small trader is classified based on the number of positions and the size they trade. So we just looked at some information on the cycles, on the commitment of traders, which is the big trader. Now we're going to look at cycles. The cycle is a repetitive pattern in price and time. Let's look at this chart. Here's an interesting chart. Again, I removed the name to remove your predetermined bias and remove the dates. Notice what's going on here. This is a near perfect cycle, not perfect at the tops, but very accurate at the bottoms. And this happens to be the approximate 7-year cycle cycle in Japanese yen versus the US dollar. It's a very reliable cycle. So the first thing we want to do is determine, number one, what is the big trader doing? Number two, what is the cycle? Is it reliable? And number three, what's the small trader doing? The small trader is based on what we call the daily sentiment index, which is available for my office and has been every day since 1987. Let's look at this chart. This is a chart of the S&P E-mini showing the bottom, the top red arrow, and at the bottom of the chart, we see the daily sentiment index, small trader sentiment. So small trader sentiment dropped down to about 5% bullish or 95% bearish right at the bottom. So what did we have? The small trader selling, the large trader buying, the commercial buying, and if there was a cycle and the cycle was bottoming, we had all three important pieces of information at our disposal with which to make a timing decision. So what I'm showing you right now is step one of the whole process, the setup. I'm going to show you a bunch of setups for moves that are going to be very big, but remember, these moves are nothing. We do not get into these moves until they trigger, and that's an entirely separate aspect of what we do. Now, you might ask, what's the difference between the daily sentiment index and the COT small trader index? The daily sentiment index is issued every day. The COT comes out once a week, and the COT is delayed by a week or two, so you don't get immediate information. The daily sentiment index is better for faster decisions because it doesn't lag. So we're looking for the combination. Here's the combination we're looking for. A cycle that's reliable, number one. Large trader commercial buying activity, number two. And number three, small trader negative. So we're using this methodology only to find bottoms. And I want to stress, I am not an always long trader, but this particular methodology that I'm showing you, which I'm using to predict the next big moves, is based on finding bottoms, although we can find tops with other methods as well. I'm only looking for the big moves. So let's take a look. Let's go to the next slide. We've already looked at this. So let's look at this. So bear with me for a moment. It's going to take a little explanation. At the top of the chart of the US dollar index, I've got the cycles. Take a moment and look at the cycles. You'll notice that they are not perfect. They are very, very accurate, but not perfect. Check it out. Take a moment and look. You will notice that they're not symmetrical. They do have predictable tops and bottoms. And you'll notice also that we are past the midpoint of the cycle. You'll notice that the large trader is selling, they're hedging their dollars, and the small trader right over here at the bottom of the screen was very bullish. So what does that mean? Small trader bullish, cycle topping, big trader selling, combination for a top. The same thing happened right over here. Let me go to it right over here. Small trader very bullish, large trader selling, and the market tops. Right over here, small trader very negative. The big trader was buying over here right before the cyclical low, big move up. So the first move that I'm predicting for you here is a big decline in the US dollar. I'm not going to talk about fundamentals, even though the fundamentals support the forecast. I'm not interested in fundamentals because you can interpret those any way that you want. We can look at other patterns, for example, a seasonal pattern. Here I've taken S&P 500 September contract. Every year, 1987 to 2019 at one of my websites, seasonaltrader.com, and I made a graph. The chart shows what typically happens each month and week of the year. Notice what typically happens in May, right over here. Big up move, and it's turning out to be exactly as expected. And this graph was made a year ago. So I want you to think about that old saying that people say, sell in May and go away. I much prefer to say, buy in May and prepare to stay, because that's what the facts say. We are fact-backed, rules-based traders, and we don't interpret anything. But let's go forward. We can even take this concept and define it even further by asking for exact dates. So as an example, buying the Dow Jones since 1920, almost 100 years, close the trading June 27, exiting close the trading July 15, has been right 78% of the time for nearly 100 years. It's a staggering statistic, but most people are not interested in that because they'd rather trade by intuition, which is not what I'm interested in doing because my intuition sucks. So let's go forward. Let's look at another one. Euro dollar interest rate futures. Not to be confused with euro currency. Euro currency is the Euro FX foreign exchange. This is the euro dollar short-term U.S. interest rate futures in Europe. Let's talk about this. Look at the cycle on top of the chart. It is about as perfect as you can get. 5 years. And when I say perfect, I don't mean 100% accurate. I'm not guaranteeing profits. I'm simply saying what we do is darn good, but it's not 100%. I want you to look at the combination again, what I call the trifecta. Number one, at this low right over here, cyclical low, commercials, banks, insurance companies, and so forth, buying futures, small trader, very negative, and selling futures. Interesting combination. Very interesting. interesting combination. And then what happens? A huge up move that lasts about 2.5 to 3 years. Where is that pattern right now? The small trader was very negative here at the bottom. The big trader was buying more futures than ever before. The cycle was bottoming, and we got this up move right over here. And even though it looks like a small move on the chart, remember, it's futures. And in futures, you're leveraging a huge amount of money. So is this one that I would buy now? The answer is no. Why? Because number one, that move has already started and reached its target long ago. Number two, even though the commercial has started buying again, the small trader is way too bullish and the cycle is stopping. So there's no opportunity for me in this market. What about this one? Treasury bonds, another interest rate futures market. Ask the question, has the cycle been revival? Yes. Is the cycle bottom? Yes. Did the cycle bottom with commercial buying activity and small trader negative? Yes. Is there a new opportunity here now? No, it's too late. But I'm going to show you some that are not too late. And here's one that very few people really trade in futures, but it's worth looking at. Nikkei futures. Look at the combination. The combination is very clear. Number one, look at the cyclical low that's approaching right now. A very significant cyclical low. Very significant. Number one. Number two, look at the commercial buying activity. It's green. Who are these commercials? Remember? Banks, hedge funds, insurance companies, foreign governments, sovereign wealth funds. Very significant accumulation. There's only one thing that's missing right here. The small trader is not negative enough. So we need to wait for the small trader to get down into the area of about 90% bearish. So this one's on the radar. We're watching. And remember, very important, once it does give us the configuration we need, in other words, what I call the trifecta, we also need something else. Step number two, the trigger. Then we need step number three, the follow through. Now, what I'm showing here is my most complicated work. The other work I do is really much more simple, and it goes back to what I showed you before. In other words, these kinds of seasonal moves that produce extremely high accuracy and very large profits. So let's go forward again to the next one. That's the Nikkei. What's the next big move? Gold. Well, gold has already happened. We correctly predicted the bottom in gold several times. So right now, even though there may be a lot left on the upside in gold, in terms of a huge opportunity at the beginning of a move, it's too late. But it's not too late for silver. You will notice what silver has been doing recently. In the last couple of weeks, silver has literally exploded. Why is that? Let me show you something interesting. The cyclical low is expected right here. Prior to the cyclical low, right over here, and you can barely see this, but take a close look. Commercials were buying silver. If you know the history of the commitment of traders report in silver, that was the first time since the start of trading in silver futures, the first time that commercials bought silver. At the same time, at the bottom of the screen, the small trader was selling silver. They were negative. So that's the trifecta we're looking for. Once we had that trifecta, what happened? We got a timing trigger and we were off to the races. So silver is just getting started. There's a lot of room left in the silver. Let's go back and let's look at the next chart. Copper. I want you to think about this one. I want this to be an educational opportunity for you. Look at the copper. So first, let me say this. Copper has had historically some of the best, most predictable cycles of any of the markets. Copper has many ETF possibilities or proxies. You can buy Southern Peru Copper, which is paying about 5% dividend. You can buy FCX, Freeport-McMoRan, Rio Tinto, BHP, COPX, and so forth. All of these are proxies for copper, or you can buy copper futures. The bottom line is this. If you look at the chart, you will see that something interesting is going on right now. Number one, you've got two cycles, the full cycle in blue and the half cycle in orange. Right now, commercials are buying copper like crazy. In fact, not too long ago, they bought just about as much copper as they ever have in the past. So why are they buying copper? They're buying copper because they think it's going up. So let's ask the obvious question. We have economic disaster, supposedly. We've got the COVID crisis. We've got people all over the television talking about depression, recession, worst economic conditions since the Great Depression, huge unemployment, people going out of business. And yet copper is being bought in record amounts and the small trader is very negative, as you can see at the bottom of the screen, but the big trader is buying. Let's ask the question, excuse my French, who the hell is the big trader? Think about it. The biggest commercial in copper is, as President Trump would say, China. China is buying copper. Do you think they're buying copper because they want to store it? Yes. They want to use it? Yes. They're big in heavy industry? Yes. Automobile manufacturing? Yes. Copper wire? Yes. Home construction? Yes. Batteries? Yes. So what's it saying? The implications of this expected bottom in copper, and you will notice what copper has been doing the last few days, it's been explosive. The implications are very far-reaching. They're basically saying this entire move to depression talk is bogus. It's fake news, or at the very least, it's on Intelligent News. What's happening here is this: a golden cyclical opportunity to buy copper. And furthermore, we can use the magnitude of commercial buying to predict the magnitude of the move. In other words, the length of buying activity by commercials here is very significant. The amount they're buying is very significant. So we are able to predict a big move rather than a small move. So remember, I'm not talking about trading here. I'm talking about investing. You want to talk trading? I can teach you a whole hell of a lot about trading. But as far as investing is concerned, most people have no interest in that. But you will come back and look at this webinar 3 years from now and you'll say, that little guy was right. I should have listened to him. So remember, what I'm showing you here is a setup waiting for a trigger, and copper has already triggered and reached its first target. Now, let's go on to the next chart. How about this one? Platinum. I want you to look at something. Number one, the big cycle in platinum is in blue. The half cycle is in orange. I want you to look right over here. It's a little green spot. It's very small, but small things in the markets can mean big things if you know what you're looking for. It's like anything else in life. Prior to the biggest move in the history of platinum, commercials were buyers. They didn't buy a lot, but you'll notice week after week after week, they're hedged. And then finally, they say, no more. We're not going to sell our production. We're going to keep it. So the market turns around and starts to go up. The small trader is very negative. And again, I want you to look at that configuration. Don't let the popular misconception school you, by which I mean people will say, oh my God, I just looked at the COT report in platinum. And look at this right over here. As of a couple of months ago, a couple of weeks ago, commercials had their biggest short position in platinum. I want you to remember what I said before. This is not a short position. It's a hedged position. They have taken the product in from the miner. They paid the miner X dollars for it, and they sold it on the futures for X dollars plus. They don't want to speculate most of the time. The only time they will speculate is when prices get too cheap. So what they're doing is, it's guaranteed income for them. I'm only interested in what commercials are doing when they're buyers, not when they're sellers. So the next big move in platinum, and if you've been watching platinum, it's been going crazy as well. Well, what about this? Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Coffee. Now, you might not be interested in coffee futures, but remember, sorry about the noise, I am at home. Remember that we're looking at ETFs. There's a coffee ETF called the JO, as in Java Joe, JO, and you'll notice what's going on here. The cyclical pattern in blue in coffee, although not perfect, has been very reliable. It's repeated many times. Remember, we're only looking for opportunities on the long side, and I want to stress, I'm not an always long trader. For this particular purpose and this concept that I'm teaching you, I am only interested in long configurations because this pattern is very prevalent at market bottoms. So what's the pattern say? Well, let me explain it to you. For the better course of 4 years, commercials have been buying coffee. They just recently began to liquidate some of their holdings because their average cost all the way down was very low. At the bottom of the market, right over here, let me show it to you, the small trader was extremely negative. And you'll notice this very negative small trader sentiment correlated almost perfectly to the biggest commercial buying in history. Now remember, as I said before, we're talking about something long-term, not short-term. We're looking to predict something that's going to happen 3, 6, 9 months down the road. So I give you this information and tell you to watch the market. Did this have any implications for other stocks, for other markets? Yes. Starbucks. Who is the biggest commercial buyer of coffee? It would be Starbucks. So all of this stuff over here was mostly Starbucks, the roasters, the Starbucks chock full of nuts and so forth. And so what happened? Because they bought their coffee futures at the right price, their cost of production was very low. And as coffee prices went up and up and up and up and up, their profits went up and up and up and up. And even though coffee prices went down, 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 as you see right over here in this particular case, that cost savings, that reduction in price was not passed on to the consumer. So the $4.20 cup of coffee that you were paying for kept on going higher and higher while their cost of production went lower and lower and lower, which allowed Starbucks to become a stellar big winning stock because they were making so much damn money. And that's the way this process works. So let me show you something else. Check this one out. I like to look at markets that most people have no interest in. A lot of people love the Forex, but they're always trading the popular Forex markets. The Euro dollar, Euro, the Euro currency, the Euro yen, the British pound, the Australian dollar, and so forth. I'm interested in the accident that it's ready to happen. And here it is right now. The New Zealand dollar, the Kiwi dollar. I I want you to look at the configuration and review with me what we've learned so far. Number one, the cycle. Is the cycle reliable? The answer is yes, it is reliable. Has it repeated itself frequently? Take a moment and look at the car, look at the chart. Tell me what you see. You see anything interesting here? You see repetitive pattern? Yes, there is a pattern and it's been extremely reliable. And what is that pattern ready to do right now? Take a look at it, take a close look. Do you see a low coming? All right, so if you see a low coming, what do we need? We need a trigger. We need to see, hold on, I'm gonna be laying in general. You're acting a little bit weird, a little bit strange. Okay, so here we go. We see, number one, record commercial buying. Number two, the lowest small trader sentiment in years. Number three, a cyclical bottom. Commercials, namely banks, hedge funds, and big traders, have been buying New Zealand dollar futures for the better part of 3 years. There's a move coming. It's going to be a big move. So if you're a Forex trader, this is a golden opportunity for you to buy the Kiwi against the US dollar. Let's go on to the next one. One moment, please, ladies and gentlemen. I shall be right back. My computer is acting a little bit strange. Something going on with my microphone, please. So just bear with me. I'm going to take about 30 seconds and see what I can do about this microphone. Let's come back to this and try it again. Okay, I think we're okay now. Okay, so let's look at this one. People love to complain about corn. The price of corn is so low, it's going to keep going lower. Well, the price of corn has been going sideways for several years. But look at the cycle. The cycle is very interesting. Not only has the cycle been reliable, and remember what I said, reliable does not mean perfect, but the configuration is the most important thing. And here is that configuration. Number one, the small trader is very negative. Number two, the commercial has just started buying corn again. Number three, this is the beginning of the cycle. In fact, the cycle is late. Opportunity to buy corn. If you're not a futures trader, you can buy corn and soybeans and wheat in one basket. And there's a ETF for that, okay? It's called DBA, Delta Bravo Alpha, DBA. Let's look at another one, soybeans. In fact, this chart is a little complicated, so let's take a closer look. What do we see? Again, I want you to look at the configuration. The small trader was very negative in mid to early 2019. The big trader was buying. Recently, the big trader started buying again, and we have a cyclical low that's due right now. So how to participate? As I said before, a number of ways, one of which is DBA. But who's going to make the big money here? Who is the commercial in the grain and soybean markets? Archer Daniels Midland is one of them. ADM stock is trading at a very low price right now, and it's yielding 4% dividend. Using my other timing indicators, which are not the subject of discussion for today, we are very close to getting a trigger. The individuals or enterprises that are going to make the big money on this move are the commercials. And if you don't like ADM, you've got the Andersons, Anderson Grain, yielding 5%, dirt cheap stock at $12. And the reason I show you these charts is this. We have the configuration. Cyclical low, number one. Small trader negative, number two. Commercial activity, bullish, buying, number three. Waiting for step two, the trigger. And while you're waiting, 5% dividend yield at the current price. Bungie Grain, a fabulous company, yielding almost 6%. And where can you get that today? You can't get that at the First National Bank. So here's a dramatic one for you. Crude oil. Look what happened. The crude oil cycle in blue has been very predictable. As I said many times before today, not perfect, but predictable. Number two, recently, when crude oil prices went below zero, we had the lowest market sentiment, small trader sentiment, since 2014, which preceded this low right over here. There's only one important piece of the puzzle that's missing here in crude oil. That is, commercials have not been buyers of crude oil since all the way back here. They've been hedging their crude oil immediately as it's produced, which is what the function of this market is. The function of the futures market is to provide a vehicle for hedging. So although I don't see an opportunity to be a buyer of crude oil, I do see something else, natural gas. Look at the combination, and this is what I want you to see. This is the essence of my presentation to you today. The combination, what I called before, the trifecta. Here it is. Second highest commercial buying in history, right over here. Extremely negative small trader sentiment, and we are past the cyclical low. So again, within the context of my formula, what am I doing? I'm waiting for an opportunity to buy natural gas, a timing trigger. I'm not going to run in and buy it right now unless there's a trigger. Because remember, commercials can do what human beings can. They can continue to buy all the way down because they have the money to do it, and they dollar cost average. They're trading for the big move, and so are you if you're an investor. But as a trader, nothing I'm showing you today will help you in terms of your short-term trading. Do not ever use the commitment of traders information for short-term trading. You can use the daily sentiment, but not the COT commercials data. So I'm waiting for an opportunity to buy natural gas. So here's what we're looking for. The following combination. Number one, we're looking for the cycle. Asking the question, has the cycle been reliable? Number two, if the cycle has been reliable, what's the big trader doing? We're looking for a situation where the big trader is a buyer. And I want to stress, big traders, commercials, can continue to buy all the way down on a scale down. So you don't want to do what they're doing immediately. You want to use the combination I'm showing you. And above all, you need to wait for a timing trigger. Number three, you want to see the small trader being negative. We have seen a number of opportunities, such as the one I just showed you before, where the small trader is negative, the large trader is buying, and the cycle is bottoming. That's the combination that we want to look at. And let me review a couple of them for you. So let me go back a little bit. Oh, by the way, if you want the full presentation of this webinar that I just showed you, which is considerably longer and shows about 25 different markets, click on here and you'll get an opportunity to sign up to get the recording and the PowerPoint of that presentation. I'm having a webinar on Saturday. You get information here on this live link regarding what I call the hedge fund secret weapon, which is the small trader sentiment. If you're interested in other things I do, it's right over here, but let's go back to showing you something. Let's take this situation in New Zealand dollar. Let me find it. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Let's go back just a little bit more. Okay, here's the New Zealand dollar. I know that certain things happen at certain times of the year, by which I mean there are seasonal trades that we can make. I'm going to go step all the way back here and show you this trade we looked at for the S&P. It's called a seasonal key day trade. I'm almost there. Here we go. If I go to the computer and ask the question, computer, for the New Zealand dollar futures, back to the first day of trading in the New Zealand dollar futures, which could be 15, 20, 30 years or more, has there been any pattern that's repeated itself on an exact day-to-day basis, X percent of the time? If there has been such a pattern, the computer will find it for me and give me an opportunity to know all the relevant statistics. So for example, this trade that I showed coming up, buying Dow Jones close of trading June 27th, getting out close of trading July 15th, risking a 6% close only stop, has been right 78% of the time. It shows the average profit, the average loss, shows me everything that I need to know. And furthermore, I can look at the history in terms of its cumulative performance. So when I talk about step number one, step number two, and step number three, I'm talking about this as step number two, the trigger. Once I'm in the trigger, I want to go into step number three. You will notice that on this particular configuration, I have here something called average profit. If I make this trade in the Dow Jones, and the Dow Jones moves in my favor 125 points, which is the average profit, I will take one third of my position off the table. I will reduce my risk effectively to zero, and I will ride the rest of the position with the trailing stop, locking in a certain percentage of my profit so that I can participate in the big move. So let's go forward a little bit. I'll give you some conclusions again, and then I will take questions if there are any. One moment, please. Oh, let me show you one more thing before I forget. You will notice I have a number of other indicators here in this chart. This chart contains additional information, which is not part of this webinar. At the top of the chart, I've got prices. I've got two lines, which are my channel. In the middle of the chart in orange, I've got a divergence indicator. And at the bottom of the chart, I have Williams accumulation distribution and its moving average. If you'd like to know more about those indicators, you can visit my website. So let's review what I showed you, and then I will take questions. Here we go. So number one, I'm looking for the cycle. The cycles are easy to find. You can find them visually, or you can go to the Foundation for the Study of Cycles, which is a website. And they have a list of many of the cycles, and you can do research over there. It's a not-for-profit organization, of which I sit on the board of directors. Number two, once you've found the cycle, take a look and see what is the commercial trader doing, the large trader. If the large trader is a buyer, then you want to know what the small trader has been doing. If the small trader is a seller, while the commercial is a buyer and the cycle is bottoming, you have all indicators in place for potential move. But remember, this is the most important thing I can share with you today. None of what I've told you today is about the short term. It's all about the big term, finding the big move. And I assure you, you will never make any money at this game if you're not trading for the big move. The fact is that 90% of your money is made on 10 to 20% of your trades. You will have many small winners, many small losers, a few bigger winners, a few bigger losers, but it's the really huge winners that make the game what it is. And that's the bottom line of this whole process that we're going through. So, David or Anka, I'm ready to take questions if people have questions. I'd be glad to answer them as best I can.
I'm only seeing one question. There's one. Can futures options be used?
The good news is that options are a very low-risk way to play the game. Unfortunately, because these are longer-term positions that I'm talking about, sometimes will last 2 to 3 years. By the time that happens, your options will have expired. Now, you can use leaps, which are long-dated options, long-term options for a year or so, but that's the only way that I would use options with these particular moves. Any other questions, David?
Not sure what this means exactly. What about tanker stocks?
Tanker stocks are dirt cheap because we've had such a decline in oil. They will probably recover, but I'm not aware of them. They're certainly not my best trading vehicles.
And I think you addressed this a bit earlier in the presentation, but do you do any day trading? Is one of the questions.
Yeah, as I said before, I wrote the 4 best-selling books on day trading for McGraw-Hill. But day trading ain't what it used to be. You're competing with the biggest, the bestest, and the fastest traders in the world. And if you're going to spend your day trading, it will not make money for you unless you're trading big positions. Most people have no idea how to day trade. As I said before, even though I've got some great day trading methods, I'm not interested in working really hard to make a few $100 a day. And trading big positions in the S&P is very difficult for most people to do because the price moves are so fast. I don't enjoy sitting in front of a stupid computer all day. I'd rather do other things with my time, like shelter place. Any other questions, David?
How can we tell Warren will not just continue to stay flat?
How can we tell what, David?
How can we tell Warren will not just continue to stay flat?
Well, it's really simple. Corn could stay flat for another 2 years, but remember what I said. We use a timing trigger. What I did today is only step one. All it says is this. Commercials are buying corn. A small trader is negative on corn, and the cycle is bottoming. We now need step two. Step two would be a weekly timing trigger to buy corn. That has not happened yet. So basically what I'm saying here today is this. Get ready. There's an opportunity coming in corn, but it's not going to develop unless there's a trigger. We use specific triggers and configurations to get into corn, but right now it's on our watch list, it's on our radar screen, and we'll jump on it as soon as that opportunity develops. And as I said before, the symbol DBA, Delta Bravo Alpha, DBA is the ETF for grain commodities. That will be the one to get into once there's a trigger. But I want to emphasize what I said before. There has been no trigger as yet to buy the grains. There has been a trigger to buy cattle futures, which, as you probably know, if you're trading the market, has really declined. But they have turned around. We're waiting for the rest of them to turn. Any other questions for me, David? I'm sorry to finish early, but I'm happy to take as many questions as there are.
How big are the stops in these long-term trades? And do you need a large account for that?
You do not. The stop is determined by the trigger. So even though we have a configuration, when the trigger comes, that will determine the size of the stop. We can't say a priori without knowing what the trigger was, what the size of the stop's going to be. And by the way, no matter how big the stop is, there are alternatives for almost every market. There's a mini contract. There's a micro contract in most cases. There's an ETF. So there's a wide variety of ways to participate in these moves if the stop is too big. So that's a really excellent question because many times people will trade a move where the stop is way too big and it'll scare the daylights out of them and get out too soon because they didn't take it into consideration to begin with. Always look at your risk. If your risk is too big, it doesn't matter how good the trade is, how good it looks, it's not right for you. Any other questions?
Okay. And Paul asks, does the Australian dollar coordinate with the New Zealand dollar?
Not always. In fact, there's been a wonderful spread going on between buying the New Zealand dollar and selling the Aussie dollar. The cycles in the Aussie dollar are not nearly as predictable as they are in the New Zealand dollar. So my work, which is contained in the full video of the presentation today, does not see an opportunity similar to what we see in the New Zealand dollar. Any other questions?
CBS, you publish many seasonal books over the years. Do you have any new books on long-term seasonal
issues? I do not.
Issues?
Well, the best way to look at seasonals is to go to seasonaltrader.com. That's where the seasonal information is best located. It shows the seasonal charts. It shows seasonal timing. There's some free videos there about seasonality. So that's the best way to do it.
Okay. I think you covered everything. Yeah.
So this is the first time I've ever finished early. I want to thank you for the opportunity, David and Anka. And I hope you have a great rest of the webinar series. If there's anyone that has any questions, you can write me at stuff right over here.
Post the links in the chat again.
And use my email, jacob.craig-reapers.com. Remember, everyone, don't touch your face. Don't touch anybody else's face. Most of all, don't be scared and believe most of the stuff that you're hearing because most of it's not true. Thank you, everyone. Best of training to you.
All right. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, David. Thanks, Anka.